read just the opening verses, please, of Isaiah chapter 40, already quoted in prayer this evening. Isaiah chapter 40 and the opening verse. You all know that Isaiah divides itself into two sections. From the background of the first section is prophecies relative to the Assyrian invasion. In the background of the second section, which commences with chapter 40, are prophecies, first of all, relative to the Babylonian invasion. Prophecies relative to it. I know that through this passage, these passages too, you see the person of the Lord Jesus. First of all, you'll remember that in Isaiah 40 to about 45, the Lord has in mind bringing in Cyrus, who is going to bring God's people back to the place of the name after the Babylonish captivity. Now let's read then just the opening verses of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, said your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now this word, comfort ye, my people. Very interesting word, because it has a medical background. We remember that it doesn't have a modern medical background. It has a medical background of the way in which doctors would think in the days when Isaiah was writing. I'm not as old as that, of course, but I remember as a boy, they used to talk in the same way. If somebody had pneumonia, and everybody would be anxious, as the patient gradually got worse and worse. And then there would be a crisis moment for which everybody was waiting, and things would go one way or the other. And as the friends may be and the doctor waited, the person's breathing would become easier. Breathing again. Easier breathing. And when that crisis came and they began to breathe easier again, they would say, you know, the crisis has turned. There's reviving. We're going to get better. That's the word here. Comfort ye, my people. Literally, cause to breathe again, my people. Just in that medical sense that we've been talking about. Cause to breathe again, my people. When you think that these chapters have a background of the return of God's people in the days of Cyrus, Ezra chapter 1, 2, and 3. There they have been for 70 years in Babylonish captivity. A place where they hung their harps upon the willows and they could not sing the songs of Zion in the strange land. You say very much that they were viewed as a nation almost dead. There was nothing for God. Then, Jeremiah has written. Daniel reads the prophecy of Jeremiah. Daniel begins to pray. And the Spirit of God begins to move. And Cyrus issues a decree. And then I read, all those whose hearts the Lord had touched return to Jerusalem to build the temple of the great God that is in Jerusalem. What had happened? The Spirit of God had moved and caused them to breathe again. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. In other words, he's talking about that word reviving from a state of death. Cause to breathe again, my people. You'll notice, please, in a verse or two lower down, that you have jumped over a period of history. And you have a prophecy having to do with John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And you remember that in those years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Malachi finishing with those that fear the Lord speaking off one to another. But around them, indifference, apathy, a state in the nation that was almost spiritual death. And you jump over those years in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And John the Baptist comes with that message. What for? To cause to breathe again, my people. The voice of the coming in of the Deliverer. The voice of the coming in of the Savior. Cause to breathe again, my people. I suggest to you that we've gathered together for these conference meetings. And how applicable is this idea to the saints of God as we come together? Days of darkness, I suppose, you agree with me. Days of departure, days of declension. They're the words that we commonly use to describe the situation in which you and I live today. So much that is sad is like amongst the people of God. Name to live, but dead. What we need, each one of us, as we gather in God's presence, is just this word, cause to breathe again, my people. Use Ezekiel's picture of movement of the dry bone. By the speaking of the word of God and the blowing of the Spirit of God. That should take place in our gathering over this weekend. What a great change it would make in all our lives. Great change in the assemblies of God's people. Cause to breathe again, my people. Got the idea? Now that's the first word, comfort. But then in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Now that's a different idea of comfort. This word means now, first of all, cause to breathe again, my people, then speak ye to the hearts of my people. That's what we shall all have to learn, those of us who minister God's word. Those who take part in the Bible reading. In our contact with each other, not speaking to the heads of God's people. Speaking to the hearts of God's people. You see, you can only accomplish something for God in the lives of God's people when you get at their heart. Said the bride in a song, draw me. We will run after thee. It is when the word of God gets to the hearts of God's people. We feel strangely moved because of the wonderfulness of Christ. And the great things that he has done for us. It's when our hearts are moved in appreciation of himself. Now that's it. It's then that we'll be wanting to get closer to the Lord. It's then we'll long for this reviving. It's then that our feet will want to run in divine commandments. Speak to the hearts of thy people. Cry unto her because her warfare is accomplished. That's interesting. That word literally means the anxiety caused by warfare. The tribulation caused by conflict is accomplished. And that again fits into the early chapters of the book of Ezra. There was a period of 70 years desolation. A period of 70 years. God's allocated portion. The time of her warfare, the time of her distress caused by warfare. What was it? Well, it was the invasion, wasn't it, of the Babylonian army that took those crowds one after another captive into Babylon. And having been taken captive into Babylon, they knew that 70 years must be accomplished upon that city. It was a period of distress caused by warfare. And it was through Jeremiah that God had told them exactly the period of time that the hand of divine discipline would be upon the nation. This is Isaiah chapter 40. You can say to my people, speak to their heart. You can cause them to breathe again. Why? Because the time of divine discipline would come to an end. At the end of the 70 years, God would cause his people just at that point to breathe again. And so it was about that time, wasn't it, that Zechariah entered on his ministry. And as he stood in the midst of God's people, they said, you know, that's Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. You say, why does the Spirit of God say that several times over? Well, because Zechariah means the Lord remembers. And Berechiah means the Lord hath blessed. And Iddo means at the appointed time. You see, the time of her distress caused by warfare was accomplished. The 70 years prophetically in this verse comes to an end. Like that, isn't it? In all divine disciplines. You think of the church at Smyrna. You will have tribulation 10 days. Wouldn't be nine. Wouldn't be 11. It would be just 10. And in this occasion, it wasn't more than 70 or less than 70. It was just that divine period. So that God had brought his people through a period of despair. But the moment had come when God would bless them. Would to God that would be truly the weekend upon which we enter. That the discipline of God having been upon us, we come before the Lord and cry to him for his blessing as we gather together. The time of her distress is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. You know, it used to be, especially in Ireland, maybe you might, you still do it in Canada. You come together and you not only pray, but you confess. Must admit that those confessions I listen to in the various meetings are somewhat vague. Generally. But it should be, shouldn't it be, a period when we come before God, and at least individually, when the Spirit of God touches our consciences, we find the need to confess. Get things right with God. What an awful thing to come to a conference as we do now, and the Spirit of God put his finger upon our conscience, and we go away without adjusting our lives. How tragic. We should adjust our lives when we come together. Having adjusted our lives and put things right with the Lord, her iniquity is pardoned. And I'm remembering what our dear brother said in his prayer about the closing part of this verse. Various constructions have been put upon this. Possibly one of the most blessed anyway, she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Maybe a reference that when a bill had been paid, it was not only signed, but it was doubled in half. When it was doubled in half, it was pinned up on the day. He had received that the Lord had done for all her sins. Wouldn't it be good coming before God for this weekend together? We were revived and caused to breathe again. The ministry of God's word really touched our heart. Seeing his hand in our lives, even in discipline, we put things right in our lives. Went away conscious that there was a clearer sky between our souls and the Lord than there had been when we came together.